Hi, this is Alan Weiss in a special edition of The Way I See It. The Postal Service released recently a stamp for Frank Sinatra. Old Blue Eyes, the chairman of the board, for the anniversary 10 years of his death. And they should have sent, if they wanted to be appropriate, a good bottle of scotch around to everyone via the Postal Service in commemoration. Hard to believe he's dead for 10 years. Probably the greatest of all popular singers ever. He worked with the greatest arrangers, Axel Stordahl, Gordon Jenkins, Quincy Jones, and, of course, the great, great composers, Cole Porter and Irving Berlin and Rodgers and Hammerstein and Johnny Mercer and so forth. Impeccable, impeccable phrasing. And the man was, in the prime of his career, just a fantastic and great singer. I'm going to play for you an excerpt here from Old Man River. Of course, on Broadway in the original and its revival, the role is played, this particular song, by an African-American, as it is expected to be. But Sinatra recorded the song on one of the great albums of all time, The Concert Sinatra. And for the only time in his recording career, he hits D below D. And I think you'll find something truly amazing as you listen to this wonderful excerpt.
Tote that barge, lift that bale, you'll get a little drunk, and you'll land in jail. I gets weary and sick of trying.
I don't know about you, but you never get sick of trying to listen to that. That's just an amazing piece of singing. Nothing artificial done about it. It was recorded naturally, played back here naturally. Just astounding. And, you know, folks, 100 years from now, they're not going to be playing rap songs, I don't think. And they're not going to be playing heavy metal, I don't think. But they're still going to be playing those songs because they've been playing them now for 100 years after the fact. Sinatra, interestingly enough, you know, is a real person. He had real loves and he had real failures. His film career went in the tank. It was revived with From Here to Eternity, for which he won an Oscar, and purportedly with Underworld help. Who will ever know? But it was part of a representation in The Godfather. Sinatra's great love was Ava Gardner, and he lost her. And he was desolate as a result of that. And he did some pretty stupid things. But if you listen to Sinatra's singing, what you find is that he really didn't sing about love. He sang about loneliness. There are exceptions, but most of his songs, you know, in the wee small hours, quarter to three, one for my baby, one more for the road, he's singing about loneliness. It's really interesting. Even things like the Isle of Capri and South of the Border, he loses the woman, even in his up-tempo songs. Another lesson Sinatra taught me was that you don't need an introduction if you're somebody. And we saw a warm-up act once in the Circle Star Theater outside of San Francisco, down in the peninsula. And after the intermission, I was waiting for someone to introduce Sinatra. And, of course, they don't. A spotlight hits the top of a staircase, and Sinatra walks into great applause. Why would you need to introduce Frank Sinatra? And that was the lesson that I learned. The longer the introduction, the less important the person usually is. Sinatra was an impassioned champion of civil rights, by the way, and he refused to perform in clubs and refused to stay at hotels where blacks were not allowed. And so whether they were part of his entourage or part of the show in general or whatever, he actually forced many Las Vegas clubs and hotels and other places to change their policies on reasonable and equal accommodation. And he believed in that a great deal. To me, you know, he was like Sandy Koufax. You know, when Koufax took the mound and he was untouchable. When Sinatra got behind the mic and he was on, he was untouchable. And so there's a full life, well lived.
Don't worry about me.
Frank, here's to you.